There's been an exceptional expectation for this conference. There's been a bit of a buzz, and I think each of us have kind of an expectation from God. But this year, I actually feel, or this time, I feel it's more than an individual awakening. It's actually a corporate awakening that God wants to do here with us. I believe it's a new day for the body of Christ. The call has been going out, the wake-up alarm has sounded, and we have gathered to say, God, we want to be awakened. We want to take part in his end-time plan for the bride, the body of Christ, the church. And I believe if you are here tonight, that you have an incredible, irreplaceable part to play in that amazing plan that God has for us. I'm going to share with you a few bits and pieces of the awakened vision so far to get you up to speed. And then hopefully, and well, definitely, we'll travel this journey together as God awakens us over this weekend. I don't know how many of you are morning persons. You know, if somebody says, are you a morning person? I am definitely not a morning person. I hate alarms. In fact, if an alarm goes off, the first thing I do is press the snooze button and just always want to sleep a little longer. Especially when it's cold like this, I kind of pull the covers like over me. I like obviously quickly hit the snooze button and then I tuck in a bit deeper and just hope to get 10 more minutes of sleep before that thing goes again, and then I press the snooze button again. So I really love to snooze. And you can ask my husband, he's here as well. You know, he's called me actually snooze button because I always snooze in the morning. Now, I believe the reason why we've actually got this kind of alarm clock kind of conference is because God has been speaking and gently trying to wake us up. But too many of us are still snoozing and we're still kind of a bit sleepy. So most of us are not yet excited about the new day that is dawning. Over this weekend, I believe God wants to sound the call very, very clearly and give us a glimpse of what is lying ahead. Now, on a regular day, I'm very, very happy to just, you know, press the snooze button. But have you noticed, like, on a day where something really exciting is going to happen, you're up way before the alarm goes off. Okay, so, like, this is, like, the same on my wedding day. I was up long before the alarm sounded. I was ready. I was getting prepared. And I went into the garden, and I just went to spend time with God, and it was just, you know, so much fun just sharing with him the excitement that I have for the day. I have to add this. I started to get ready, and it was the first time I actually saw my wedding dress, because most brides, before your wedding, you spend quite a long time, you know, focused. You know, your wedding day is approaching. You're focused, you're prepared, you're reading all the wedding magazines, you're seeing like the florist, you're doing all those things. So I was sort of doing that, but I was kind of quite happy with, I went into to a shop, I saw a nice dress, it was fine, you know. And then when I went to my final fitting, you know, like they do the final fitting a week before the wedding because most women lose weight and, you know, you have to be like the exact size and they do the final fitting. So of this higher dress, they were doing the final fitting. And as I stood there, I just realized I'm only getting married once in my life, and this is not the dress that I want to wear for the once in my lifetime wedding. So right there, I turned to this designer, and I said to him, listen, can you make me a new wedding dress in a week? And luckily, I got married in the middle of winter, so he wasn't busy. And needless to say, I wasn't able to fit the dress until that morning. So here I was, the morning of my wedding. Oh, and as the dawning came upon me, I also realized that the flowers weren't exactly what I wanted. So I changed the florist and I changed the flowers, and my mum was a nervous wreck. But for me, my wedding day was perfect. Now, that's kind of beside the point, but the thing is, I did prepare for my wedding, only a little bit late, you know, and we don't really want to be late preparing for the wedding that is approaching. A wedding is approaching for us, and we don't want to be a little bit late. It reminds me of the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25 says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and saying, no, lest it should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards the other five virgins came, well, it says here in the word, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now this is the picture of the wedding that is approaching. And we see here there are 10 virgins, and they all went out expectantly to meet the bridegroom. But he was a long time in coming. There was a kind of a delay, and they all fell asleep. But when the alarm clock sounded, when the alarm sounded, they woke up, and only five were ready. Only five had oil that was still burning. And the other five were running around confused, they weren't ready, and they completely missed the wedding. Now in verse 12, we see what this actually refers to. If we just go back, it says, when the other five came, the foolish virgins, they said, afterwards the other five came and saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. So in the Bible, usually when it talks about oil, it usually refers to the Holy Spirit. And in this instance, in verse 12, we can see that it refers to us knowing God, actually him knowing us. If you're ready, he will actually know you. And we can see that the wise virgins had a relationship with Jesus. So in times when it took longer, and in times of darkness, and in times of light, they had this source almost to draw from. They were able to keep the lamps burning. It almost also reminds me of a vision that Corinne, who will be ministering to us tomorrow, she had this vision that she shared in church. And this vision was of this bride who was getting ready for a wedding. So she was preparing, and she was beautiful, and she had a dress on, and she was so focused on everything that she had to get ready for the wedding. And then she arrived at her wedding, and when she got there, she went to this guy and said, are you my husband? And he's like, no. And she went to the next guy, and he's like, but are you my husband? And he was, no. And she went to the next guy, and he's like, are you my husband? So this bride was able to get herself ready for the wedding, but she didn't recognize her husband. She didn't know who he was. So will we recognize Jesus when he comes? I believe really the first call of awakening for us is that God is saying we must know him. We must recognize him, and he must know us. And that's the first call of awakening. And that means in order for us to prepare ourselves, in order for us to be ready, we need to spend time with him. We need to know him. We need to develop our love for the Word of God. We need to spend time in his presence. And it's the only place that we're going to develop a hunger and thirst for his Word. It's the only place that he can continually reveal himself to us. In the end times, as the wedding is getting closer, we must see him. We must, when he comes, we must recognize him. I believe God also, secondly, wants to awaken in us a love for his body, the church. And the easiest way to explain this, if a guy went to a girl and he said to her, wow, you're so beautiful, your face, you've got a stunning face, and the most beautiful blonde hair, and I love your blue eyes. In fact, I love talking to you. You are so bright. I just connect with the way you think. I just spend hours talking to you. But you know what? I don't like your body a lot, okay? I like the way you dress. You're a bit fat. And so let's have a Skype relationship. That way, I only have to deal with your face, you know? That's ridiculous. But a lot of us are like that with the body of Christ. We want to spend time with God, but we don't want to connect with his body. And so Ephesians 5:23 says, For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Husbands, love your wives, and I believe this is for us, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And I just want to read that again and just receive that for us tonight, that just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. First, we must love Jesus, but then we must love the body, and we must find our place in the body. This is the one thing that really, really excites me about the conference. It's not so much the beautiful decor, the funky food canapes, hey, funky, and the amazing, incredible, anointed speakers that we're going to have tomorrow, or the beautiful dancers. You don't want to be late. You don't want to miss the first dance. But it's actually a glimpse of what it means for the body of Christ to come together. I've just been blown away at the way this conference has been organized, because initially we just shared with the girls and said, listen, this is what we want to do, bring your gift. Whatever it is, bring your gift. And women in the churches started responding, saying, I'm good at this, I'm good at that, I'm good at this. And I was just, it was just amazing. I remember the first time I experienced this, we had our first marketing meeting where we kind of had to decide what the website was going to look like, and just kind of a general, just a 1 hour chat about everything that we think we need. And just before that, Alka was in that meeting. Just before that, Alka bumped into us at a coffee shop. Now, women, I've realized, really works well in coffee shops. So Milani and I have run up my husband's account, because he gets a little SMS every time I spend money. So after the 100th coffee, he gives me a call. But we do really well in coffee shops, and we plan well in coffee shops. But while at a coffee shop, we saw Alka and said, hi, Alka, we've got a marketing meeting tomorrow. Why don't you join us? So Alka came to the marketing meeting with us. We literally spent an hour just talking a bit about the vision, what we need for the website, what we need for the emails. That evening, I think it was the evening or very, very early the next morning, I get an email from Alka with a copy, the wording of every single page on the website, of every single email we will need to send out, of every post on Twitter, of every Facebook post, plus a schedule of exactly when and how everything needs to go out. I don't know how she got that from 1 hour meeting, but not only did she do all this, the wording was amazing. I knew what we wanted to communicate. I knew the heart with which we wanted to chat to you, leading up to the conference. But I was blown away by how Alka did it, because we could never have done it ourselves. So Alka came, and she brought her gift. And with her gift, she brought a whole new excellent dimension to our communication. I can tell you lots of similar stories. I just want to tell you another one of Angela. We also shared this at church. And she came to me afterwards. She was like, oh, thank you so much that we can be part of the conference. Thank you so much that I can do something. And she was just so excited. And she said, you know what, Lisa? I go on missions, and I do it, and it's great. But, it's just a bit uncomfortable. But this conference, I love it. So Angela is an event coordinator at a farm near Franschhoek. And so, similar story, within a day, she came back to me with a whole plan of exactly how we're going to do the food, how we're going to run it. We went to Old Biscuit Mill in Cape Town to do team building. That was part of a plan. And so she also just brought an amazing dimension. And last weekend was actually the busiest event of her company. And so she was working herself to death. It was the biggest event that they run. And obviously, we had lots and lots happening for Awaken. And I would phone her in the middle of the week. She was, running off her feet with her work. And she would pick up the phone and say, Lisa, I'm so, so busy, so stressed. But as soon as I start working on the stuff for Awaken, it's like I'm just coming alive. So it was just amazing. And it's all just a glimpse. It's a glimpse of what happens when the body of Christ comes together. And it's only a glimpse, because if all of you brought your gift, imagine what it's going to be like next year. That is really the point of church, isn't it? It's the body of Christ coming together, and the pastors, evangelists, teachers equipping the body for the work of the ministry. So that's very exciting for me. You know what? For too long, girls have been competing with one another. And that's when we start getting jealous of one another, when we start getting envious of one another. And I heard somebody, I think I saw it on Twitter, that jealousy is when you think somebody's in a position that you actually ought to be in. But you know what? In God's economy, there's enough positions to go around for all of us. We just each need to find our place and just come and say, I'm really not good at this. This is my weakness, but this is my strength, and I can bring my strength. And if we do it together, the potential is unlimited for us. This year at Awaken, apart from all of those things, I really saw this beating heart, and God saying He wants to awaken the heart of the bride. And if you think about a heart, and if somebody says, who is the heart of the home? People usually refer to the mother or the wife in that family. And she's the one who usually brings in the atmosphere into that home. She's the one who creates an environment where children and husband can thrive. She's the one who looks after the relationships. And if the kids need a bit more special attention, she'll tell the dad, listen, maybe just spend a bit more time with that kid or whatever. So she's the one who connects the relationships in church. She's also the one who plans the dinner dates, because whenever I'm in church and I ask one of the men for him and his family to come over for dinner, he will always say to me, speak to my wife. She plans that. So she's the connector. She connects people into relationship. And I believe this is where we as women in the body can find our place. I really believe God wants to stir in us the heart of a mother also. And a heart of a mother is really the one who loves her children unconditionally and believes in their incredible potential. So she adapts her life to make sure that her husband and her children flourish. And as women in the body, no matter what our age is, we can all do this. We've all got this inside of us. So we can bring this gift to the body, and we can see the potential in other people. We can release the potential in other people by encouraging that potential in them. And we connect people in the body into their place. So this is our role as women in the church, to kind of spot people's potential, to spot where they need to develop, and to kind of slot them into those places and connect people in relationship. I also believe, on a similar level, that it's the time where God is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, which also means God is turning the hearts of the mothers to the daughters and the daughters to the mothers. And I read this article in the newspaper that we live in a kind of Friends, you know, the Friends TV series, that Friends actually redefined family. So family after Friends actually became my friends became my family. And so people started living communally a lot more, and they kind of related to their friends as their entire family. But I see now in the body of Christ and in the church, I sense this hunger from the young women who are saying, where are the mothers, you know, that are calling out for the mothers, that have this need again to connect with mothers in the church. And I also see that the mothers in the church, the older women, a mother can be somebody of 20, you know. So somebody, just what I mean is just somebody who's older and a bit further along than somebody who's a bit younger. And I also sense that the mothers also want to start connecting with the daughters. But the mothers in the church aren't always realizing the incredible wealth and treasure that is inside of them. And I've been starting to connect with these mothers and telling them, listen, the daughters are crying out to connect with you. And they would just tell me, but, you know, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know. They just feel that they don't have something to give. But Titus 2 verse 4 says, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely, be pure, to be homemakers, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. And I really feel that there really is that cry that we want to get out of the friends culture, and that we really want to start connecting in relationship again with the older women and the older women with the younger women. So there's really a place for each and every one of us in the body of Christ to take up. I've also been super encouraged by the way the men have become excited about Awaken. Have you noticed? I saw last night they've got their own Awaken Facebook site. It's so cool. So I read all their comments. But what's so awesome about it is something inside of them wants to honor the women. They really wanted to come this weekend and bless us and really honor us and lift us up. So they've really come and they've kind of decided to lend their strength, whether physically, like carrying tables and stuff, but also spiritually, they've come to lend us their strength as we gather. But let's also do the same. Let us women come and lend our strength back to the body of Christ. Okay, and then lastly, I believe God really wants to awaken our hearts for the community. So as we learn to love each other, and the same love and care we display towards each other in the body, we can do that same thing in our communities. But I'm going to leave Corin, because that's her session tomorrow, to really stir our hearts in this area. I just want to say one thing, though, that often we are surrounded by such great need out there, you know, and our hearts can become so dull and kind of, you know, afgestomp in a lot of ways. And what I want to suggest tonight, that it takes a small difference, you know, for each and every one of us. And if we pull it together, we can actually make a huge difference. So it's going to start with small things, and it's going to maybe start with changes in our thinking. And I'm very excited because we're getting to the best part of the evening. So brace yourselves. But in choosing, we want to invite you, okay, to take this journey with us. And we thought the best way of, from this evening and going forward, to just take this journey with us is by giving you a very special gift. Da-da-da. And waiting for the guys to come up now. you can come. And as we chose these gifts, we decided to make a small change in our thinking. Instead of ordering you these things from China, we have gone and looked for a community project that we can uplift a person, a family, and a community through the gifts that we are giving you tonight. So I just want to invite Beatrice to the stage. Beatrice is the one who connects all these community projects together. She spends hours and hours of her time to empower other people. And we just want to honor you tonight, Beatrice. She custom made these things for her. She showed me what they normally look like, and I said, I want it smaller, I want it this way, I want it that way, and I want to awaken in it. And she made it possible. So we just want to thank you. Can you give her a huge round of applause?
The whole idea with that book is that you take your notes in the book for the rest of the conference, okay? You know, I don't know if everybody's like my husband, but my husband loves eavesdropping when women are talking. He finds it fascinating. And I remember when I arrived in here, you know, and I walked into the hall, it really sounded like, have you heard when there's lots of birds in a tree? That's what us ladies are like. I must honestly say that I myself was really looking forward to just coming here tonight because there's something different about spending time with girls. I've got a house full of men and I couldn't wait to get away there tonight. Just to do girly things. But I just want to, just before we finish, we actually want to spend some time, just a couple of minutes, just sort of clucking together in like groups of three or four as you feel comfortable, and just actually ask the Lord. There's so much prayer that's gone into this conference, and I really can sense it, even in preparing the session that I'm doing tomorrow night. And please stay till the end of the conference. Don't want to miss out on anything, okay? But everything, just really, when we pray and we bring our expectations to God, and also when we give Him a blank check and say, God, write on my heart that which You want to write, you know? When we actually communicate, God says you do not have because you do not ask. And the Lord wants to do, I know it. You know, I said to Lisa when she came with this idea of a women's conference, I said, okay, that's not my gift. I usually arrive at women's conferences to speak, but I go and I leave. You know, that was in the past. And Melanie even said, she's not into women's conferences, but she said this one. And I can say the same. I couldn't wait. And I can't wait to share with you tomorrow night the word that the Lord has given. Because everything has fallen into my lap. The word of God. And that happens not through my brilliance, because there is none of that. I'm telling you, God responds to prayer incredibly. And so we're going to, just in a minute, we're going to turn to each other. But there's just one little thing that Lisa said in a talk that I want to just cotton onto for a second. She said that with the virgins, when they came to the wedding supper, God talked about knowing them. And remember the story about the bride who comes with her clothes and she's looking, are you my husband? Are you my husband? Etc. And the Lord has been ministering to me about this whole thing of knowing God. You know that scripture, that scary one that says, but Lord, Lord, haven't I done this in your name? Haven't I done this in your name? Haven't I done this in your name? And then the Lord will say, but I never knew you. And that scripture has been with me for a while. And I was thinking in terms of husbands and wives. You know that there's this, the word knowing talks about intimacy. She was referring to that as well. It said that Adam knew his wife and she became pregnant. And so there's a kind of an intimacy there. But for us that are married, we know it's not just a physical intimacy. In fact, that is a very small part of knowing somebody. Okay? And I was thinking, I want to ask you, what would you say, in one word, would you really like for your husband or your boyfriend or one day your husband? See, most of you are here unmarried, I think. What would you really like from your husband? Not love. That's besides for love. Okay? Another word. You would like him to you. She says respect. Pursue. Protect. I want to hear from the married women. The unmarried girls don't know what they're talking about. It's like doing marriage counseling before marriage, you know? And you talk about the pitfalls of marriage. They sit there, you know, before they marry, and I think, that's not going to happen to me. That's not going to happen to me. That's not going to happen to me. Married ladies, what would you like? I would really like my husband to me. Who said that, please? Are you married? See, married women know. You would really like your husband to understand you. And the scripture also says, right, husbands, walk with understanding with your wives, doesn't it? Now, married ladies. How do you think your husband is going to understand you? Is he going to understand you? Is he going to understand you by sort of watching how you talk, how you move, how you act, how you speak, etc., etc.? Or is he going to understand you by what you? How is he going to know you, lovey? No, you're unmarried. You'll learn. She says, spending time with you. You know, you can spend time with your husband and he can be reading and so can you. If you want him to know you, he must, short word. Who said it? Ask. Do the married ladies agree with me? He must ask you, how are you? How are you feeling today? Only by asking will he know you. We've got to teach our sons these tricks. You want to know a woman, ask her, okay? And then brace yourself. You know, and this was sitting with me the whole time, and then I realized something with God saying, I want to know you. And I realized, you know, we sometimes study God through scripture, through nature, because he says this is how he makes his attributes known. And we sort of, at a distance, check him out, but do we ask him? Do we ask God? God, show me your heart before we read scripture, before we look at nature and everything that has been created. And you know what? I changed my whole approach to God. And now, before I read, because he says that he reveals himself to us through Scripture, I ask, and I say, won't you show me something about yourself? I don't read Scripture to get a word, to understand the stories. I say, God, show me your heart. When I look at the things around me that have been created, I say, God, show me yourself. And in this way, this is a good question to ask God. He loves to show us his heart. So I just want to encourage us tonight as we pray, let's pray for each other that we would come onto God's wavelength. You know, when we get onto God's wavelength, when we understand that we're here for the glory of God and not for our own comfort, then we're on God's wavelength. And then he pours out wisdom, understanding, etc., etc., abundance of life. And this is what we're after this weekend. Are you after abundance of life this week? That's what he wants to give us, but he wants us to ask the right question. So let's just turn to each other. 2x2, 3x3, maybe 4x4. And let's ask God, God, won't you reveal your heart to us in whichever words you'd like to use?